Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
Well, it's sure good to be here this evening, and we want to get right into the Word of God. I want to look today in the First Chronicles. First Chronicles, chapter number 13. First Chronicles, chapter 13. And I want to read several verses here, but I'm really interested in just a couple of verses from a text and what I'll be expounding on. But to get the setting, I'd like to read verse 1 down through verse number 14, the entire chapter of 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Now, those that are here with us and those who are able, will you please stand with us in reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. And the Bible said, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you that it be and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in the city, their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim." Let me just say, there was about 30,000 of them, according to the parallel passage in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, verse 6 of our text, "And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God." Let me just stop and say, Uzzah's great sin was a sin of presumption. They were never to touch the ark of God. And what's implied here is Uzzah's got so used to God, he's treating him with contempt. And acting like God's got to have his help. God don't need our help. We need his help. But read on in verse 11. "And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Thank you. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's seek his face in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all you've done today here, Lord, at WGCR Share-a-thon. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for the great messages we've heard, the move of God that's blessed and encouraged and helped your people. We thank you, our Father, for the privilege to have a part in this Share-a-thon this year. We pray, God, that we'd be a blessing. It's my heart's desire, Lord, to be a blessing to your people that are here, Lord, and those that are listening by way of radio and watching by way of internet. And I'm praying, God, that you'll suit a blessing to every heart. Now, Lord, I need help tonight. God, I confess I can do absolutely nothing in myself. I'm a big zero without you. In fact, I'm less than a zero. I'm a zero with the rim kicked off of it. God, I need you tonight. I always do, and I confess my utter inability, God, to get the job done. I'm praying for your touch and unction, wisdom and leadership and discernment to rightly divide the word of truth. Give us power, God, tonight to preach. May the message go forth and minister grace to the hearer. And may all the glory go to God. And we'll praise you for all that's done. In Jesus' name we make our prayer. Amen and amen. Well, I'm interested tonight in the last two verses of this chapter. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, 90 days. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Well, I have preached from 1 Chronicles 13 and also its companion text back in the book of 2 Samuel. I preached several times on the sin of Uzzah, my friend, and the contempt he showed toward the holy things. But right here recently, I read further in the story, and there's not only a sadness that happens here, but there's something special that takes place here in this chapter, and it is the blessing of Obed-Edom. And so I want to preach a little while on that. I've never preached on it until this year at the church, and I have been studying upon it, meditating on it, and I hope it'll be a blessing to those of you that are here as well as those of you that are in our radio audience. The blessing of Obed-Edom. Now, let me first of all, by way of introduction, mention who he was. Well, Obed-Edom was a Levite of the family of the Kohathites. Now, the Kohathites had the assignment to bear on their shoulders the holy things of God. Now, the other two tribes, Merari, they had ox carts to carry the tent, the tabernacle, and all the paraphernalia that went with it. But the Kohathites were to bear the holy things. So Obed-Edom was a Kohathite. Now, there was the Kohathites, the Merarites, and the Gershonites. The Merarites bore the boards, the pillars, the sockets, and the stakes of the tabernacle. The Gershonites bore the tent coverings, the hangings for the court, the curtains, and the veils. Now, both those tribes had wagons to carry that in, but the Kohathites were to bear on their shoulders the holy things of God, of course, the tabernacle furniture and the vessels, And what's important about that is the Kohathites were to bear the Ark of the Covenant. Now, that's who Obed-Edom was. Then where was he from? Well, he's called Obed-Edom the Gittite. Now, called a Gittite, it means simply an inhabitant of Gath. The birthplace of Obed-Edom, there was two Gaths in the scripture. There was Gath of the Philistines, but I'm doubting that's where he was from. There's another Gath that Joshua mentions in chapter 21 and verse 25, and it is Gath Rimmon, and it's in the half tribe of Manasseh, and it was a Levitical city. God peppered throughout the land of Israel cities for the Levites, and because they didn't have ordinary inheritance, but God gave them cities, and this was where Obed-Edom was from. Where? Who was he? Where was he from? And then number three, where he lived at the time of this text. Evidently, he lived somewhere on the road near where Uzzah, my friend, was smitten. That is, on the road from Kirjath-Jearim to Jerusalem, which I understand historians say it was about a 10-mile trek. And there he lived. Well, as we think about the blessing of Obed-Edom, I think there's something that'll help us as we look at the happening and the happenstance that surrounds the story of his blessing. Now, let me begin now by saying, number one, the source of his blessing. Now don't forget, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Now we need the Lord's blessings. We gotta have his blessing. In fact, we have enjoyed his blessings, and I got blessed that you got blessed so this morning. And we've been blessed of God today, and we need the blessings of God. We gotta have him. He don't have to have us, but we gotta have him. But I want you to think about Obed-Edom and his blessings. And if God would do that for Obed-Edom, and he's no respect to persons, I believe there's blessings that are available to you and I, the people of God. Well, think about the source of his blessing. Now, what brought blessing to Obed-Edom's house? Was it a fact that he was a Levite? No. Was it a fact that he was an Israelite? No. Was it a fact that he had the best house in town? No. Was it a fact that he had a bunch of children? No. That's not what brought blessing to his house, my friend. His house became the home of the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. And the Ark of the Covenant represented the glory of God, the presence of God, and the power of God. Oh, my soul, brother and sister, when you think about that Ark of the Covenant and how Obed-Edom opened his doors, my friend, to have the Ark brought into his house. Now, you say, well, what's so great about that? Well, he just saw God smite us for touching it. And he knew, my friend, all of those men that had died in Beth-Shemesh for looking in it. And my, he was aware of the Philistines, how havoc was written in all the five cities of the Philistines. I'm telling you what, brother and sister, this Ark of the Covenant, it represented the power and the glory of God. But if you mistreated it, it would bring death and destruction. But old Ben-Edom had faith in God. And so the source of his blessing was the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant represented the immediate presence and glory of God in Israel. And David has a good desire here. He wanted Israel to be alive with the sense of the near presence and glory of God. He has his kingdom established, and he's wanting to bring the ark into the city, into the central place of government, in the royal city. He wants God the honor, my friend, the rule and the reign with his glory and presence. Well, the source of blessing for Obed-Edom was that Ark of the Covenant. Now I want to mention number two, the story of his blessing. Now the story centers around the Ark of the Covenant. Let me do a little history study with you. I want to rightly divide the word of truth, but I want you to think about what took place preceding this. If you'll study your Bible, you'll find at this point that the Ark of the Covenant had been stored in the house of Abinadab from the time when the Philistines had sent it back into the land of Israel. Boy, God about wiped them out with it. Yeah, he did. And they recognized they couldn't handle it. Remember, they put it on the ox cart and sent it back? Well, when they did that, then, my friend, they sent it back, and about 70 years later is where we pick up in this story. Now, it had been in the land of Israel. It had been in the house of Abinadab about 70 years. If you go back and rightly compute it and rightly divide it, there was a 20-year period. Let me turn back to a text that says in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1 and 2, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Here's a 20-year period. It's been in the house of Abinadab. And my friend in Israel, by has not gone to seek the face and hadn't had the presence and the power of God. But God has raised up a Samuel. And Samuel, my friend, comes on the scene. And he has a message from heaven. And he preaches to that crowd that they need to get right with God. And they need to clean up their act. And my friend, now they begin to get right. They begin to clean up. And my friend, and now the enemies of the Philistines come out against them again. And now there's a battle. Oh yes, but there's a man of God, and there's the people of God. And there, my friend, they came in battle again with the Philistines. But this time, they had a right, my friend, heart, and a face looking toward God, and a trust in the Lord. And God gave a great victory. And so the stone Ebenezer was raised, which meant, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Well, that's 20 years. And then between that time and David, there was 40 more years, 20 years more in Samuel into the reign of Saul for 40 years. And the reference in verse number 3, they had not inquired in the ark all of those years. 40 years, 20 years, and then about 10 years, because David now, he reigned in Hebron, remember, for those years, and now he's in Jerusalem. So the time mark is important because Israel for 70 years has not, my friend, encountered and inquired for the presence, the power, and the glory of God. But I see in this story God working in the heart of David and putting in his heart a desire for the presence and the power and the glory of God again, to bring it out of obscurity, to bring it out of the closet, to put it right smack dab in the middle of the national life of the kingdom of Israel. Oh, my soul, that's part of the story that's here. I thought about, as the ark represented the presence of God, how poorly the presence and the glory of God had been treated by Israel up to this time. You go back into 1 Samuel, you'll find in the days of Eli, there was wicked compromise. Oh, Eli, my friend, he didn't pay a good attention to the work of God. He compromised with his family. He let the lights go out in the sanctuary, and my friend, he let down in the work of God his attitude toward God's presence. Why? There was compromise. Then there was wicked carnality of Eli's son that laid carnally with the women at the tabernacle. Hey, there near the house of God, the presence of God, what wickedness was taking place, my friend, by them. Oh, how they shamed, how they grieved God's presence and glory. And then there was the wicked. You read on in the story, Israel went to battle, my friend, with the Philistines, and they were getting whooped. And so what they thought they'd do, they get together and say, let's fetch the ark. In other words, they wasn't seeking God's glory. They just wanted to have some conjuration. They wanted to conjure. They wanted to use it as a good luck charm. They wasn't interested in the God of the Testament. So there was wicked conjuration. Israel battling the Philistines and said, let's fetch the ark. Let's just fetch it. Let's get it up here. Let's let it do its fight. It's a good luck charm. Hello? That's the way they were treating it. That's exactly right. And that too was grievous to God. God is holy, holy, holy. As Ralph preached last night, as I preached last Sherathon on Tuesday night, God is still holy. And you need to know He's holy. He's not a good luck charm. He's a God to be loved, served, and lived for, and looked to, and trusted in. Oh, yes. So there was wicked conjuration. And then when the Philistines called, they whooped them. They whooped them. They killed the two sons of Eli, and they took the ark of God, oh yes, into the land of the Philistines. And it stayed there for 7 months. They took my friend, and they had wicked contempt toward the presence of God. They brought that ark into their idol temple, and Dagon, the fish god, and they brought it in there as if it was a spoil of their victory and that their god Dagon had delivered. But my friend, they came back the next day, and old Dagon done fell on his face before the ark of God. And bless God, got all broken up for that thing. Amen. So they treated it with contempt. And then God began to smite the Philistines, and they began to die. I'm telling you, there was a rat plague. There was a hemorrhoid outbreak. And my friend, I'm telling you, they were dying left and right. And so they'd sent it from city to city. And everywhere it went, it brought death. It brought destruction because of the contempt of the Philistines for the God of Israel. 7 months it stayed there. And they went to send it to another city. They said, don't bring it here. It'll bring death. death here. And they got all of the rulers together and got their heads together and said, we need to do something about this. This ark is a wiping us out. Hey, listen. There was more being slain by the ark of God going from city to city than it was all the fighting that Israel had done in the previous days. God was showing that He's holy. But anyways, you read on, you'll find out in that story, brother and sister, they decided we better send it back. And some of them said, well, this is just happenstance. I mean, this really wasn't God. This just happenstance. All of this. So I'll tell you what let's do. They got together and they talked to some of their, quote, holy men, unquote. And they said, well, if you send it back, don't send it back empty. Send it back with an offering, a trespass offering. Send out some gold. Said, tell you what you do. And some of them said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's put it on a new cart. Let's take two milk cows, if you please, that's got fresh, that just got calves. Amen. Let's put the calves in the barn. Let's hook these two milk cows, amen, to the wagon. Let's put that ark on it and let's let it loose and see what happens. Says if it heads toward the land of Israel, then we'll know that God has brought judgment on us. But if they turn back around and come like they naturally would back to their calves, then they know, they'd think it would be just a happenstance. Well, you know what happened. My friend, those mama cows, I don't reckon there's any other kind. They're headed up. They went low and they're looking back at their calves, but they made a beeline right into the heart of Israel, into a place, a valley, my friend, where were some Levites, and they took a straight course into the land of Israel. Because God, my friend, was the one what was displaying His power. Well, now, I'm talking about how God's presence had been mistreated by Eli compromise, his son's carnality, for the Israel, they're trying to conjure. And my friend, and now the contempt of the Philistines. But they bring it into a place called Beth Shemesh. And here was wicked curiosity. You see, the men of Beth Shemesh, they took on, this is a message right here, preacher, if you can ever get in on this. This is a message. They opened the Ark of the Covenant, Brother Lamar. To do that, you'd have to remove mercy. And if you get to looking, try to look at the law without the mercy. Oh, no wonder, my friend, there were all kind of men slain, but for looking, curiosity, my friend, looking into the ark, and God smote the whole outfit, and they dropped like flies down there in Beth Shemesh for just looking into the ark. Wicked curiosity. I'm telling you what, brother and sister, let me say that again. God is holy. God is holy. Wicked curiosity is what brought judgment on them. Well, and then you come to the passage I've read unto you tonight. You find where 70 years later, they put the ark on an ox cart. Where'd they learn that from? They didn't learn it from God. God had a way for it to be transported on the shoulder of the Kohathites, the Levites. Amen. But my friend, they tried to do God's work in the ways of the world. This is where, my friend, a lot of churches, a lot of ministries go crooked. They try to do the work of God in the ways of the world. I want to tell you, you better do God's work in God's way, because it won't work if it ain't in God's way. And so they put it on this ox cart, right? David's praying, boy, he made a great, it was a great celebration. They got 30,000. I said there was 30,000. They were singers and trumpeters and drums and cornets and, my friend, cymbals and dancers and singers. And, my friend, all the mighty men and women and great pageantry and a great parade. Hallelujah. They're bringing the Ark of God to the city of Jerusalem. They bring the Ark and they get to John's threshing floor. And the Ark stumble. I don't know if they hit a bump, my friend. So Uzzah, he thought he'd help poor little old God out. And he stuck his hand out to steady the Ark. You say, that's awful cruel. God had given them explicit instructions to the Levites that if they touched it, they would die. And how did he get in that condition? This was wicked complacency. What do you mean? Well, he grew up around it. You see, he was probably the grandson of Abinadad. And that ark had been in their home, stored up by a friend, not reverenced, not by a friend rejoiced around, not and no blessings. No blessing. I thought about, I never read of any blessing that came on Abinadad's house, and yet the Ark of God stayed there 70 years. Why was there no blessing? They didn't treat it right. They didn't cherish it. They didn't honor it. They just housed it. They just had it somewhere stuck in the back by a friend and forgotten. I'm telling you, and there was no blessings. But I read of Obed-Edom, he just had him in there 3 months. And hallelujah, everything around him was starting to get blessed, 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 blessed. And I'm glad, hallelujah, brother and sister, that when they carried that ark into Kirjath-Jearim, and that was Abinadad's house, and for the next 70 years, no blessing there, just complacency. But then Uzzah's sin was actually wicked carelessness, the sin of Uzzah. Well, that's where the story changes. Now, I want to get all of that's kind of, you know, that kind of rough stuff there. You could really bust some hides with some of that. But I want to get to some sweet stuff. Now, this is sweet to me anyway. But here's where the story turns. Notice when God smote Uzzah, that David's, he got upset. In fact, he actually got angry. He got angry. He got upset. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside. I want you to look at that statement. But carried it aside. Now we're talking about the blessing of Obed-Edom. Number one, the source of his blessing. Number two, the story of his blessing. But number three, the sidetrack of his blessing. Amen. What do you mean, Brother Rudy? Well, hey, this wasn't in David's original plan. This wasn't in the captain's plan. This wasn't in, my friend, the program. Oh, no, they wasn't expecting God to bring judgment and wrath. And so he's got it headed that way. And guess what? God smites us, and David said, how can the ark? And they carried it aside. Now, the carrying it aside might not have been good for David, and it might not have been good for his crowd that was celebrating. They scattered, my friend, mourning it because of the breach. But hey, what they did do, they carried it aside. What wasn't so good for them was real good for Obed-Edom. Oh, yes. And I got to thinking about the sidetrack of his blessing. Hey, think about the times that God has, in his providence, took something, my friend, working in detours that may seem strange, and yet he works something to his honor and his glory that brings an unexpected blessing. And I'm telling you what, how many of us sides have we experienced where God took what looked like real problems and turned it into a real blessing. Well, I think about the sidetrack of his blessing. But then I want to mention something else about it. I want to talk about the submission that brought blessing. Now, I read what Matthew Henry said, and I can't improve on what he said. Here's what Matthew Henry said, that great Presbyterian author that wrote the commentary that has blessed all of us. Most every preacher I know has it in their library. Here's what Matthew Henry said. Obed-Edom knew what slaughter the ark had made among the Philistines that imprisoned it, and the Bethshemites that looked into it. He saw Uzzah struck dead for touching it, and he perceived that David himself was afraid of meddling with it, yet he submits to opening his house to it and makes room for it. Now listen, if you knew, my friend, that something that powerful and that deadly and that awesome, my friend, could bring death and destruction by the slight mistreatment of that presence and power and glory, you might be a little apprehensive about opening your doors, my friend. But I don't know how it happened. The scriptures don't say. Evidently, most scholars believe this took place somewhere near where Obed-Edom's house was close by. Maybe the first Levite that the closest by. Obed-Edom wasn't expecting this. He wasn't looking, but one of God's sidetracks. Amen. Isn't it good how God will take off the main line, amen, sometimes and come on a sidetrack and bless everybody. Hallelujah. I think about Jesus going to Samaria. Most of the time, my friend going to Jerusalem, they wouldn't go through Samaria. The Jews would have nothing to do. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. That might have seemed like he took a sidetrack. He did. But there's a woman down there at the well that needed the grace of God. And he went there, hallelujah, won her, and a whole bunch more. God sidetracks. Hallelujah. Back now to the submission part. When I think about Obed-Edom, and I don't know if David said, Obed-Edom, yes, king, we need to bring the ark of God. He goes, oh, wait a minute now, king. I just saw him kill us. And you're afraid of, you won't bring that into my house? No, that wasn't his attitude. His attitude, because Obed-Edom evidently had been reading his Bible. He knew how to treat the ark. He knew how to cover the ark. He knew how to respect the ark. He was a godly man. And my friend, he's a poor man. I think it was Josephus that said that he was very poor and of low condition. He didn't have a lot. It wasn't a fancy house. It wasn't a mansion. But oh, it's going to be graced. Well, hallelujah, with the greatest gift that could ever be given to any house in all of Israel. David misses this blessing in his house for 3 months. But for 3 months, hallelujah, there's glory rolling down there at Obed-Edom's house. I say hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'm sure Obed-Edom, I'm sure he had a reverence for the ark of God. I'm sure he had a Bible knowledge of how it was to be treated, because and himself was of the very tribe that was to carry it. And they knew in that office that of the respect that God had given them by a friend of how they were not to touch it and even how they were to cover it. Numbers 4:6, they were to cover it a special way. And they were transported in a special way. And I'm sure Obed-Edom by a friend knew all these things. And he knew his family by a friend would follow his lead. He sure instructed them, evidently a godly man. And so it may be meager, it may be little, but bring it in, David. Put it in the best room in the house. Amen. Put it in the best room in the house. I'm sure, brother and sister, that he would be telling his family, oh, this represents the presence and the power and the glory of the God that brought us up out of Egypt and into this land. This is the God that gave, amen, passage through the Red Sea. This is the God that blessed us with all the blessings in our land. This is God's presence and power, children. Reverence it. Praise God. Worship the Lord. Give Him glory. Amen. And I'm sure that my brother and sister, their praises and prayers and worship in that home were animated by God's presence in the house. In other words, he said, I want the presence of God in my house. David was afraid to have it in his, but Obed-Edom said, I'll submit, I'll open up, I want God in my house. I believe we, the people of God, ought to have the same attitude. I think we ought to say, I want God in my house. I want to submit to Him. I want to open up to Him. I want to give Him the best, amen, in my house. I don't want to stick Him back in a corner. Put Him right here in the living room, right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. I want the blessings of God in my house. The submission that brought blessing. Then I would mention number 5. Listen at this. The significant, seeable signs of His blessing. Now, the Bible said in verse 14, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Amen. Not some of it, but all. Now, how would they know that? Well, read back in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 11 and 12. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told. It was told King David saying, hey, they get blessed down yonder. It told King David saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. Oh, listen, what I'm saying is, what God was doing and blessing them, it wasn't an obscure thing. It wasn't a secret thing. I'm sure there were secret blessings. I'm sure there were secret times of fellowship and praises and wonderful worship that took place. But my friend, God got to blessing everything about Obed-Edom. Got to blessing his home. Got to blessing his garden. Got to blessing his children. Got to blessing his work. Got to blessing everything he's doing. I'm telling you what. The blessings of God. Why, he's got tomatoes out there in the garden the size of pumpkins. I'm telling you what, listen, brother and sister, if the grapes around there look like watermelons, and the watermelons, my friend, look like a number 10 tub. I'm telling you what, God's a blessing everything down there around the house of Obed-Edom. And God done it in such a way that people got to noticing it. They got to looking at it. They got to watching it. Hey, hey, what I'm saying, Bible said that they told David. Well, how would they know that? Because God proved it. God showed it. God displayed it right before them. All that he had, all that pertained unto him. I'm telling you, everything about him got blessed. Well, his castle got blessed, his home. Why, I'm telling you what, oh my soul, God ordained his, God honored his home. His companion was blessed. What do you mean? Well, I believe, praise God, the glory of God made her look prettier. Say amen right there. Well, hey, when God moved in the house, why, even mama looks better. Hey, you say, why you say that? I tell you what, because God's glory adorning women is the very thing that makes them beautiful. And I'd rather have the adoration of a clear, clean countenance of some woman full of the Holy Ghost than some painted up doll out of Hollywood any day, friend. Hey, the glory of God, made everything. Oh, mama, you look good tonight. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you what, brother, God blessed his castle. God blessed his companion. God blessed his children. I heard some feller say one time, I was listening, preaching about it. He said, why, his children, even their pimples dried up. Oh, yeah, their acne cleared up. Their countenance got a firm. Why, some of them down there at the schoolhouse, they're making straight A's where they used to be making F's. I'm telling you, something's happened. What's going on down there? I'm sure when old Ben Edom went to the local barber shop, he said, man, your hairs are growing back. Like you were when you were a young man. What's going on? God's in the house. Hallelujah. You say, I don't believe that. Reading, you don't get blessed. You don't believe nothing. I'm telling you, the Bible said God blessed everything, all that pertained unto him. That's right. I think about, his children was blessed. His communion, his worship, his communion with God, all blessed. And all the community began to take notice. Oh, my soul. I think about storms that come up. I can imagine storms are coming up, wind storms. And my friend, tornadoes and twisters are coming across through there. And it tearing up the whole countryside, but it jumps over Obed-Edom's property. Amen. How is it? Hey, I might think about a time of drought. Why, it's dry. Maybe they're going through a dry time. And everybody's garden's dried up. The corn's wilted up. The crops are drying. But over there at Obed-Edom's house, he's having fresh showers, amen, from heaven regularly. And God, amen, is blessing everything that he has. Amen. God was a blessing. His work, his craftsmanship, my friend, his work became so skilled. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm telling you what, the glory of God, the anointing of God, the power of God can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. That's what God was doing down there at Obed-Edom's house. I'm telling you, they were just blessings. Blessing in the field, blessings in the family, blessings in the community. I'm telling you what, when he stood up to speak, everybody shut up. And listen, they had never done that before. He was just a poor old farmer, poverty stricken, just barely getting by. But now there's blessings. There's blessings. Hey, there might have even been a gross darkness through the community. But over there at Obed-Edom's house, there was a Shekinah glory that was a shining all around. I'm sure they began to have camp meeting around there. Hey, as people were drawn to the things of God because it got out on him. Hey, they went and told the king, hey, king, I know for the last 90 days. Now, you just think about how much took place in 90 days. Everybody's seen it. Everybody's aware of it. The news got to the king. What I'm saying is this is significant, seeable signs of his blessings. That's the kind we want to see around here. We want to see some that people have to scratch their head and just say, all I can say, that's God. Amen. We want to see God come through and do it to his honor and his glory. We want the blessings of his glory and his presence and his power. Oh, we want some that get out on us. Amen. 90 days. But then There's a sequel of His blessings. I want to end with this tonight. The sequel of His blessings. Well, they, for 3 months, why, everything. Mama made the best meal she ever made. Amen. The crops were the best they ever been. The children were the best behaved they ever had been. There was peace in that home like they never had been. Oh, there was joy, there was gladness all these months. And they went on all of this. Hey, and don't you know they acknowledged who it was doing it? Because, amen. They acknowledged. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. All them years of Abinadab, there wasn't nothing going on over there. These folk were worshiping. This old boy, Obed-Edom, his heart was open. I'm telling you, he was a willing, wise, worshipful worker by a friend that had opened up to God and said, you know, y'all can take the world, but give me Jesus. Y'all take, hey, you take your riches, but give me the pearl of great price. Hey, you go ahead with your parties and pageantries. I want worship down at my house. Oh, yes, he opened his heart. But then I read on in the story, and I find out, you know, God didn't only bless his home, but there came the day, and we're just reading between the lines, I'm speculating here. But somewhere now, the king has found out they're blessing Obed-Edom. In the meantime, those 3 months, I don't know if Obed-Edom sent the king the message. It might have been him sending the king the message, but we don't know. Somehow or another, David got in his Bible, or somebody pointed him to his Bible and showed him that the way to bear the ark was not the ways of the world, but on the shoulders of those Levites, the Kohathites. And David realized they did not seek God in the due order. And that's the reason God brought judgment. Now, here's what I want you to see. So there came the hour, and David sends to Obed-Edom. Said, Obed-Edom, we want to bring that ark. We've heard that God's a blessing you down there. And you're a Kohathite. I'm just reading between the lines. But I want you to help bear it and carry it into the city of the great king. Hallelujah. And so the news is sent. Maybe the day before. We'll be there on such and such time. I'm sure they got around and said, God, you sure have blessed us. God, you bless us every way we look. And maybe Obed-Edom said, children, hey, you know, God has blessed us. And they're coming to get the ark of his presence and his glory. And they're carrying it miles now in the city. Said, I know we're just country folk, but I tell you what let's do. Let's go with it. Let's go with the presence. Let's go with the power. Let's go with the glory. I can see my friend, him saying to his little family, hey, let's go where we can get near God, where we can feel God, where we can praise God, where we can serve God. I just see him saying to his family, let's go where God is. Let's go where God is. So this is not the last story of Obed-Edom. God blessed all of his house. They came and got, and he probably was one that helped carry it because he had that qualification. But I read on, turn to chapter 15 now. In chapter 15, you see something about his songs, his service, and later on in chapter 24, you'll see his sons. Oh, my soul. Notice that he, brother and sister, he got blessed, but he wanted to stay around. He wanted to get where God was. He is willing to do anything he could do to get in the service of God. He was willing to keep the door, sweep the floor, clean the restroom. What, anything he could do if he could just get near where God was. Oh, my soul, would to God that we had an appetite like that in this hour, that we want to get where God's at. Nothing else satisfies. Nothing else satisfies. So I can envision him saying, let's go, family. So we read of him. Now, You read in chapter 15, just a few verses here, verse 15. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. And 16, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. Down in verse 18, you find listed in that bunch of musicians is Obed-Edom. Down in verse 21, and Mathaniah and Eliphelah and Machaniah and Obed-Edom and Jeriel and Ad, with harps on the Sheminith to excel. They were musicians. They were in the choir. Hallelujah. They were playing with all of their heart. I believe they had some camp meeting experience down there at the house. I believe, praise God, the Lord may have taught him how to play that guitar, like he taught old Reggie how to play that guitar while he's down there and the presence of God was in his house. He had him a harp. He had him a guitar, a stringed instrument, and God blessed everything that pertained to him. He had a talent now, my friend, but bestowed on him, he's going to use in the house of God. He's picked up, and my friend, he's left his home goodbye. I just want to go where God's at. I want to be in his presence. I want to be near where he's at. So he heads on that way. And so you have his songs. Look at verse 24. You see something about his service. I'll just get the last part of the verse for time's sake, and the Sadler family will close us out tonight. And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers. Amen. For the ark. Doorkeepers. Amen. Porters, if you please. I'm telling you, willing to serve God, willing to sing the Lord's song, willing to serve God. They wanted to be near it. Oh my, and you can read on, and I won't take time to go because my time's almost gone. But you read on through this scripture, and my friend, you'll find him as a porter in chapter 16, verse 5. You'll find him in chapter 16, again, verse 38, Obed-Edom with their brethren. You'll find, my friend, that that's not all there was. You read over to chapter 26, and if you'll turn there, we'll end with this. Sadler family, come on to the podium, if you will, and get ready for a song. We'll just sing in just a moment. Moreover, 1 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 4, and look at this. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaniah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, and Sacher the fourth, and Nethaneel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Pithithi the eighth. I'm slaying these names, I know. For God blessed him. He had a pile of sons. Also under Shemaniah, his son, were sons born. He got grandsons. Amen. That ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. And the sons of Shemaniah, Othniel, and Raphael, and Obed, and Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men, Elihu, and Semachiah, all of these of the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength, for service, were threescore and two. Oh, 62. Hey, in the house, why? Because God blessed him. He didn't just bless his home. He blessed his children. He blessed his grandchildren. He blessed his brothers and his sisters. And God made a dynasty out of the house of Obed-Edom with the blessings of heaven. And God can bless you, friend. Open your heart. Open your home. And say, God, come in my house. Be honored here. Adored here. Loved here. Worshipped here. Oh, Lord, we want to welcome you into our home, and let your blessing be on us like was on Obed-Edom. Amen. Hallelujah.
Us love and pray for sinners.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.